This is our subject for tonight, the resurrection and the judgment, and what a wonderful future the people of God have to look forward to, even in regard to the judgment. So we're going to carefully study this from God's Word tonight. And we are looking into John's Gospel, especially. You may remember in our last study that we considered the term the last days, as opposed to the singular, the last day. And there's a big difference, because the last day, Jesus said, is the day of resurrection. The last days, people talk about us being in the last days. We have been in the last days ever since the incarnation of our Lord Jesus Christ, and John the Baptist being born as his forerunner, and even the announcement of that to Zacharias and to Mary and Joseph. There we have the last days, and the last days continue right up to the end. But there's a very special term, the last day. And the one who used that term was absolutely authoritative in the way that he used it. And we need to study carefully how he used it. Who do we want to hear from directly from the mouth of God himself? Not what some teachers of the modern era tell us. So we're going to go tonight in our study to question 88 in the larger catechism. And then we're coming right into the scriptures in John's Gospel. Number 88, what shall immediately follow after the resurrection? Immediately after the resurrection shall follow the general and final judgment of angels and men, the day and hour whereof no man knoweth, that all may watch and pray and be ever ready for the coming of the Lord. Now, I want to make it very clear that what our forefathers are saying here was not an easy thing for them. They were persecuted for saying what they were saying in this question and answer number 88, because the system that they had come out of had, at the beginning of the Reformation, started devising alternate schemes of the last days and of the last day. And these schemes were designed by two Jesuit priests, one of them by the name of Ribera, the other one by the name of Alcazar. And they were on opposite ends of the continuum, and opposite ends of supposed doctrine. And one of them designed a system of what Spurgeon called extreme futurism, and the other one designed a system of extreme preterism, meaning by those two things that all of what spoken of prophetically in these terrible things are going to happen right at the end of the age, and so you really don't have to worry about them. The Antichrist will not appear till right at the very end. And then they were saying, on the other end, the preterist, extreme preterism, was saying, well, of course, all this happened in 70 A.D. Now, I hate to say it, but the teaching that I grew up under was on the end of the extreme futurism, and it was not only promoted by Ribera, the Jesuit who designed that school of thought, but there was another Jesuit named Lacunza. And very sadly, it entered in among the Scottish Presbyterians through a fellow by the name of Edward Irving, who was a very popular preacher in the 19th century. And even that wonderful young man who knew the power of the Spirit's outpouring upon his ministry, Robert Murray McShane, we admire him very much. He was, to some degree, influenced by him. And Brother McShane said, when he heard that Irving had died, he said, there was a man who had greatly loved his Lord, but had greatly wronged his Lord. And he popularized, this fellow Irving popularized the writing of this Jesuit priest Lacunza because he was deceived in the pen name that Lacunza used in his book of futuristic eschatology. And there, if you carefully study the historical links, you'll find that this kept on in the prophetic conferences in the west of Scotland and even into England. The pen name that Irving did not realize who was writing this little book, he thought it was a Hebrew rabbi that was a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ as the Messiah. But it was Lacunza who used a false pen name in order to deceive the Protestants. So if you go back and you study the history of the development of the prophetic schemes of dispensationalism, you will see that this question and answer is abominated by both the dispensationalists and the premillennialists. And I can't help that because we're going to look at the Bible and let's see how scriptural this doctrine is. Now let me read again. Immediately after the resurrection shall follow the general and final judgment of angels and men, the day and hour whereof no man knoweth. And it's very important that Jesus said that in Mark's gospel and verse 32. Jesus said of the day and hour of this occurrence, no man knoweth. Not even the Son. All right. He was speaking in the days of his flesh upon the earth. As the Son of Man, it was not the purpose of God for him in his human nature to know that at that time. But I have no doubt that seated upon the throne of the universe, the Lord Jesus knows very well what the Father has got in mind when the day and hour will be. There's no doubt in my mind that as he sits there as the enthroned king, he knows now. Now, let's go to John's gospel because in John chapter 5, we're going to look at several passages in John's gospel. It's very important because in all of the books of scripture, it is this one that uses the term the last day over and over and over again. So if you don't see it and you don't get it, you will get the next one. And hopefully if you don't get that one, you will get the next one because he goes on and on and on. Jesus himself saying it over and over again. And John, the beloved apostle, did not miss it. Okay. Now, beginning in John chapter 5, verse 26. For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself, and hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. And who is it that's going to be the judge? It is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. All judgment is committed to the Son. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming, in the which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice and shall come forth. Now notice, Jesus Christ was not at all mistaken when he said that all, that every one of those in the graves, they're going to come out in the same hour. Not in the same millennium, or not in two different millenniums, but he said, for the hour is coming in the which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice and shall come forth. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. Okay, now you think about this passage. We're going to see several more. But notice the term that is used in number 88 is immediately after the resurrection. Immediately after the resurrection shall follow the judgment. All right. Because right here, what Jesus is saying is that they, when they come forth from their graves, they that have done good are coming forth in the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. Now notice, it is the same hour. Okay, let's go over to John chapter 6. The Lord Jesus Christ repeats this over and over again through several chapters here, so we don't miss it. It's so easy to miss it if you simply have some scribe that's putting his nice little gloss on it, and he's got a chart behind him where he can illustrate it with all of these various points and periods, and you follow that. And I followed that when I was a young person, a teenager. And even as a little child, I was wondering what all these charts were. And then as a teenager, I started looking at them even more. And I said, I think the charts are harder than the Bible. So I gave up on the charts. I just didn't make it. I couldn't do it. And even as a young preacher, even before I was regenerated, I said, now I'm not going to do the charts. Let's just go by the Bible. Okay. So chapter six of John and verse 39. And this is the Father's will, which has sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. D-A-Y. L-A-S-T. Last day. All right, Jesus was not mistaken. He said that all of those given to him by the Father are going to be raised up on the last day. They're not going to have this extended period when they're raised and they're going to go be with the Lord in heaven for 7 years or for 3.5 years. And then at the end of that time, they're going to come back and they're going to have at that time then, 1,000-year reign. And then after that, the devil's going to be turned loose and there's going to be a terrible rebellion. And even though these people have grown up in this ideal state, they're going to, oh, we don't like this. We're going to follow the devil. Okay. So, no, that's not going to happen. Look at verse 40. If that's not good enough, look at the next verse. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son, sees him how? By faith, and believes on him, may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the beginning of the tribulation. No. At the last day. Okay. Now, where did all this come from? Okay, I know where it came from, and I don't like where it came from because I don't want to have anything to do with popery. Okay, so verse 44, no man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the end of the millennium. Okay, No. At the last day. I hope the emphasis is there. At the last day. Now let's go down to verse 54. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Okay, we're not through yet. Let's turn over now to chapter 11. And you remember it so well. There was the resurrection of Lazarus from the dead. And look at verse 24 here in John chapter 11. Jesus said to Martha there in verse 24, Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? All right, now let me stop here for a moment. This was a very emotional passage for me because this last week Joshua had a basketball game against Master's Hand. And a young man that plays against him there has a great-grandmother who was a sister to my grandmother. And that boy that was playing ball the other night on the floor against Joshua, his mother was there, and I got to talk to her because one day my mother was lying there on the hospital bed in the next to the last week of her life. And I went in, you know, knowing what the doctor had said. I read from this chapter. And I got down to where Jesus said this. I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? And I'm reading all. And my mother just stopped and she said, I sure do believe that. And it startled that boy's mother and me. And the tears swelled up in her eyes. Because right in the middle of the reading, Mother just grasped onto that and she said, I believe that. And it was very moving. And so I said, this is a very special passage. And again, they talk about the last day because Jesus had been teaching in Martha's home so often. Let's turn over to chapter 12. Chapter 12 and verse 48. Look at verse 47. And if any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not, for I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. In his first coming, he's talking about. Verse 48, he that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I shall have spoken, the same shall judge him at the end of the tribulation. No, the same shall judge him in the last day. When is the judgment going to take place? Jesus said, the hour is coming when men are going to rise. Everybody's going to rise from their grave and there's going to be a judgment. It's going to be a judgment right then. I'm going to judge him in the last day. All of these are singular. There's no plural in the Greek. There's no plural in the English. In what Christ is talking about. Okay, so let's go over to Revelation chapter 20. This is something so amazing. I mean, let's just stop and meditate on the Word of God and not listen to these wonderful, very articulate and very learned and very scholarly and very persuasive teachers. Okay? Let's just listen to the Word of God. Look at Revelation 20 and verse 11. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in books according to their works. Hallelujah! We're not judged on that. So, you know, the teachers have always said, this is the resurrection of the dead. This is not the resurrection of God's people. All right, let's go on. Let's go on here. And verse 13, and the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. All right, now look. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. What's that saying? That whosoever was written in the book of life, they were not cast into the lake of fire. But those that were there in that resurrection, all right, those that were raised up among them, all of them that were raised up from the sea, those that had died in the sea, and those that were dead, the earth delivered up those that were in it. And all of them, the sea gave up, you know, and the dead, and death and hell gave up all of these dead bodies. All right, now you say, hell, well, there's the word. You can actually take it in that sense as the grave. All right, now, but it does not get good farther down the verse, because death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. All right. But you understand that the only people in that great multitude that were raised, that were cast into the lake of fire, were those whose names were not written in the book of life. All the rest of them whose names were written in the book of life were not cast. Is specifically saying that those there, as a result of that resurrection that's just spoken of, whose names were not found written in the book of life, were cast into the lake of fire. All right. Now, the same scene is back in Matthew. Same thing. Same thing. Let's turn back to Matthew 25, and I'm going to prove to you this is the same thing that Jesus is talking about over in Revelation, the scriptures in Revelation, and what Jesus is talking about in John's gospel, it's the same thing in Matthew chapter 25. Now let's look at it very carefully. All right, Matthew 25. Okay, you got to have several different comings of Jesus, which they don't believe in the second coming. They believe in the third coming. But if you look at chapter 25 of Matthew, verse 31, here's the time element, when the Son of Man shall come in His glory and all the holy angels with Him, then shall He sit upon the throne of His glory, and before Him shall be gathered all nations. Now this is interesting. We're going to look at literally what the Greek word here for nations is. All right, but just think about it. What are nations made up of? Dogs and cats and cows and horses. And no, nations are not made up of that. What are nations made up? Are we going to have a judgment against the nation? All right, this judgment is against Egypt, and they're really bad. So all of the dogs and cats and horses and cows in Egypt are going to go into the lake of fire. Huh? Okay, you just think about what the false teachers have been saying for so many years. This judgment of the nations. It's not people. Okay, it's not individuals. Well, what on earth is it? Okay, we're going to see what the Greek word means. But just think about that. If you go on down, what does it say? All right, look down at verse 45. Verse 46. Speaking of those that are on the left hand, all of the goats. Remember Jesus said, you think I'm talking about animals. You remember Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, I know them and they follow me. Is Jesus talking about, he's going to have a bunch of these fleecy white sheep on these green pastures going around grazing in heaven? No. My sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me and I give unto them eternal life. Who are the sheep? Very obvious. If you look there at verse 32, and before him shall be gathered all nations. We're not going to forget that word. We're going back to it. And he shall separate them one from another as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. All right. He's going to put right here, verse 33 says, and he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. All right. Now you look at how he talks to these in the judgment. He's sitting upon the throne of his glory and he's judging. All right. But you notice they're all there. Now the word nations is translated in other places in the New Testament by this word. Let me spell it for you. P-E-O-P-L-E. Okay? It's translated in the New Testament in other places, and I'll find these for you. But anyway, notice when the Son of Man shall come in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered all people. Okay, we understand it's not a bunch of cows and horses, sheep and goats and dogs and cats. It's people. All right, now. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Now this is the most beautiful thing, because he's going to say a bunch of things about his sheep that they're going to say, when did we do that? I was more conscious of my sin. I didn't know that I did all that. Really? Okay. And then the king says in verse 40, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you've done it unto the one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Then shall he say also to them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Now you tell me, is he going to throw Iraq into the place prepared for the devil and his angels? He's going to throw Argentina in there. He's going to throw a bunch of people in the Soviet Union. There we go. We're going to throw them into the... No, he's not. It's people. He's not going to throw nations. He's going to throw people. He shall say, depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Verse 46, and these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. They're all standing there, the sheep and the goats. It's all people. Now, they can't be divided unless they're real people there, both saved and lost. Now, let's go back to our original statement in the answer to question 88. Immediately after the resurrection shall follow the general and final judgment of angels and men, the day and the hour whereof no man knoweth. For what reason? Instead of indulging ourselves in Hal Lindsey's book on the late great planet Earth, and the devil is alive and well on planet Earth, instead of reading Left Behind and all of Tim LaHaye and Jerry Jenkins' books, instead of reading that, we should be watching and praying. Why? So that we are always ready for the coming of the Lord. Now, why is this judgment by the Lord Jesus Christ? Because he is the God-man. He is God. So he knows all, he is absolutely just and righteous, and he is man. He is sympathetic with us. Okay, now I'm going to share a little bit with you from this old book of Archbishop James Usher. He was an Irish Puritan. And listen to what he says about our judgment. Okay, he says, The elect shall be raised up as members of the body of Christ by virtue derived from his resurrection. The reprobate as malefactors shall be brought forth of the prison of the grave by virtue of the judicial power of Christ and of the curse of the law. The elect shall come forth to everlasting life, which is called the resurrection of life, and the reprobate to the resurrection of damnation. All right, now I'm going to share a couple more sentences and I'll be done. Now, the act of judgment wherein the elect shall first be acquitted, that they may after as assistants join Christ in the judgment of reprobate men and angels. Now here, he's given the severe judgment that the saints of God are going to go through. There's no severe judgment that the saints of God are going to go through. There is therefore now no condemnation. The word for judgment. There is no judgment for them that are in Christ Jesus. Okay. The elect shall not have their sins for which Christ satisfied brought before them, but only their good works. Wow. This is a tremendous statement. Being in Christ, they and their works shall not undergo the strict trial of the law, but as the obedience thereof does prove them to be true partakers of the grace of the gospel, the Lord will speak of the acts of their obedience and not anything of a negative nature. The wicked shall be condemned for the merit of their works, because being perfectly evil, they deserve the wages of damnation. The godly shall be pronounced just because their works, although imperfect, do prove their faith, whereby they laid hold of Christ, on Christ and his meritorious righteousness. Now, I praise God for that, because the judgment of the godly, as far as the law goes, it's a closed book. And the Lord Jesus, you see what he's going to say right there. It's in red letters in Matthew 25. He's going to say all these things about his children. And they're going to say, when did I ever do that? That's what the scripture teaches. So, let's say this one last time. The question number 88, what shall immediately follow after the resurrection? Immediately after the resurrection shall follow the general and final judgment of angels and men, the day and the hour whereof no man knoweth, that all may watch and pray and be ever ready for the coming of the Lord. That's the important thing. We need to be watching and praying and being ready, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. If you think you know, as so many people have been bold enough to say, we know when he's coming. We got a date set. You can be sure he's not coming then. He's coming at a time when man thinks he's not coming.